to be talking to you today about interacting memory systems and how you may or may not be able to use different attentional cues to enhance learning. So this is a project, this doesn't work, that was thought up by Mike Moser and Rob at the University of Colorado, together with some collaborators here at UCSD, including Hal Pashler. So our project was basically to kind of get some pilot data started for them, in the sense that this may become a larger project, and may eventually lead to modeling the attention on learning systems. So the idea behind this is that in the everyday environment, there's a lot of complex visual objects competing for our attention all the time. And we have to decide what things in the environment we're going to attend to and focus on so that we know how to make decisions and how to act in the environment. So different objects will have different relevant importance, and we have to decide with our limited attention what we're going to focus on. So one example of this is in a particular example would be in an airplane cockpit. You have this big control panel, all these displays, different gauges, different buttons. What should you be looking at a given time? Should you be looking at your speed or your altitude? Should you be slowing down or speeding up or doing something with the wings? They have those little things go up and down, which freak you out when you're sitting by the wings, right, an airplane. So what we're trying to decide is how do you learn which of these is most efficient for you to spend your time attending to? And experts do this better than novices. If I went up in an airplane, I'd probably be looking at all the wrong things because I don't know how to fly an airplane. But one would hope that when I fly back to Nashville tomorrow, the person flying the airplane knows where to look. So we wanted to try to develop a system where you would take the decisions that an expert would make about where to attend and try to get a novice to make those same kinds of decisions in the environment. So this was also motivated by some studies by Brad Love and colleagues in the past year or two, which involved this military game. They get defense funding. So in this game, people have to navigate around an environment, and they can lose fuel. They have to monitor how much fuel they have and try to fend off attackers and things like that. And in some cases, they had a computer program that they called Radar, which was a system that acted like a novice and as an expert, and would give them cues to attend a particular thing. So they would say, "Whoa, watch out! You're going to run out of fuel soon." And then they had other conditions where people did not get this expert advice, and they were less successful at the game. You can see here in the radar condition, these three bars, people were more likely to actually die in battle rather than just from running out of fuel or ammunition as they would in the control group. And in terms of kills, people were more successful at killing if given the guidance of the radar system than without it. The big plan here with this project is to look at people's eye movements as they negotiate a visual environment, because eye movements give you a quick sense of where people are looking and focusing their visual attention. And this is all, some previous work has shown that if you can encourage people to look in particular places in a visual environment, you can help them to solve the problem so that they find the right answer faster. These perceptual cues can kind of get them there to say, look there, like, this is the way to solve the problem. And even implicit cues seem to be able to do this and can help people not just solve the problem then, but learn how to solve the problem better in the future. So we wanted to try to teach people the best way to negotiate an environment and eventually be able to model this attention and learning system. So in the current study, really simplified the problem, and we're just going to look at whether cueing people's eye movements to a particular location will help them learn context and object visual pairs, and whether these expert-like visual cues will enhance or hinder learning, or whether they have no effect at all. So to give you those results, I'm going to turn it over to Mike.
Okay, so our experiment was much simpler than the radar one. Basically, we were using eye tracking to determine where people were looking on the screen, and also to see like how long it took for them to find the right target. So basically, what the task was there were 10 textures that were paired one-to-one with 10 colors, and the participant had to pick... So the task of the experiment was for the participant to learn the pairs, the associations between the textures and colors. However, each texture was shown with three other distractor target squares so that, you know, you had to pick, it was, you know, harder, I guess. And in order to test cueing, we cued one of the squares, the right square that they had to pick. This was kind of the challenge, was to determine how we're going to cue them, because we didn't want to do a really salient cue where they would just be learning, or they would just be looking for the cue each time rather than actually learning the associations. So we decided to pair or to cue five of the pairs, and they remained, the five colors remained cued the entire time. So we didn't randomize that because it would defeat the purpose. And during the training blocks, there were five cued pairs and then five uncued, which were never cued during the entire experiment. So we did a total of 16 training blocks. We only used 15 in our data collection because we gave the first trial, like the block, them time to get used to the experiment. And then after that, we had four testing blocks where nothing was uncued. So we were looking to see if they learned the cued ones better, and that would, we would have, okay, sorry, let me start over. So if in the testing block they did better, if they learned the cued ones better, then they would show that cueing helps learning. Okay, so we had actually two versions of the experiment because, well, we'll explain later, but in the first version, the target cue was flashed 100 milliseconds earlier than the other ones. So on the next slide, you can see the layout of the experiment. But so this early flash was supposed to like orient the person's eye gaze to that, so that they could right away find the color that matched the background and learn it very well. And then after they looked at the right target, it would remain on screen for 500 milliseconds so that it could reinforce the learning. Okay, so this is the layout of the experiment. So basically, this was the first screen that they saw. And that was the point where they had to fixate on to start the trial. So as you can see, it's a pretty fast trial. I mean, only 500 milliseconds, the texture is shown. And then for 100 milliseconds, the correct color block is shown. And then three other distractor cues. Now, if the person looked at the wrong square, nothing would happen. So only if they looked at the pink one, which is the right one, would the trial move on. And so as you can see, the pink one is kind of held there for 500 milliseconds to reinforce learning. And then they go start a new trial back to this white screen. Okay. And each time, these are randomized on the area of the screen so that, you know, people wouldn't learn to just look to the right corner, for example, for the right one. So it was different each time. Okay. So unfortunately, our results weren't as expected. As you can see, there was no difference in cued and uncued. So we assume that that's because our cueing wasn't salient enough, so they weren't noticing at all. It was too fast, and they couldn't really detect it. So, of course, it didn't show that they didn't help them at all in the testing block. So this brought us to think that we should change the cue to make it more salient, which is what we did in experiment two. First of all, real quick, so like I said, didn't enhance learning. So, yeah, we're going to try a new, different cue type. So in the second experiment, instead of just flash an early onset, we decided to show the right color block at a 40% saturation, which is, you know, a lot lighter, and then from 50 milliseconds before showing it at the full saturation. So this created sort of a flicker effect, like a flash. So it really helped the participants orient better to that flash. It was definitely caught your attention for the majority of the participants. But they all came on at the same time, so it wasn't on early. It was just a flash. So here's another example. So Once again, they fixate texture. So as you can see, there's lower saturation, and then everything at 100% saturation created this nice flash. Okay, and then results. Maria is going to look at it.
So as you can see, our results are extremely different from experiment one. We have a significant difference between cued and uncued. So the cued, they found it easier, even all most subjects said that they didn't even notice a cue. And for uncued, it took them about, on the average, around 850 milliseconds. So it obviously was slower. And this is just an example of how most subjects looked at uncued and cued. And so as you can see, the uncued, some of them didn't find the target in time, and they kind of circled around trying to figure out which one was it. And then when it was cued, some of the subjects went really fast towards the target because it was salient enough for them to notice, at least implicitly, that it was occurring. Unfortunately, when we actually went to test them, we didn't see that effect anymore. So this could be due to two different reasons, either because the subjects overlearned what they were supposed to learn, and so we don't see a major difference between uncued and cued, or it could also be due to So that was the first one. Maybe it did help them, but it was overlearned. Or maybe it didn't help them. Like, they noticed it, and their eyes went towards it, but they didn't learn that association.
Just to be clear, in the test blocks, there's no cue in any trial type, right?
Yeah. Okay. So there's no cue here, but we're just looking at the ones that were cued during the training and the ones that were not cued during the training, so we can compare how cues affected them during tests. We were also talking about that. We were thinking, like, maybe if we get a couple more subjects, we would see a bigger difference. Do you want to?
And also, you know, we've had a lot of issues with our eye tracker, and so we've had to toss some participants, and it's not clear, you know, what the cutoff should be for when we say that this participant just didn't get along with our eye tracker and we had terrible results. So, you know, for instance, when we tested Mike Moser, and, you know, for the longest time we included him in our data, as soon as we dropped him, our results drastically changed because, you know, he was, I guess, so aware that, oh, the cue is exactly what we want, that, you know, he wouldn't be drawn to it. And so, yeah, certainly we have such a small subject pool that, you know, it could go in our favor.
Okay, and these are for six of our subjects. We had seven, but at this time that we made this graph, we didn't include the seven. And as you can see, their average mean search time for training subjects and for testing are pretty, like, consistent through all subjects. And then this is all subjects, like the whole data set for all the subjects, and how fast they reacted. So, and then there's cued and uncued. And as you can see, this is pretty typical of, like, learning, because you get more faster, and so you get more of them right.
So and you're
looking
at frequency on the
line. Yeah. And as you can see, like, sometimes cued is more effective, and sometimes it's not, at least for the lower searches, and this averages out. And that's why. Oh, and then we also looked at our textures. And here we noticed that one texture everybody seemed to really like and really learn very well. And so for further experiments, we probably want to either exclude this texture or have another texture that's within the same average of difficulty as the other textures. And this is just a picture of some of our textures. So this is the bubble one, and there's a smaller bubble one up there.
Bubbles is what everyone likes.
Yeah.
And then these are the other nine.
Yeah. And then this is for location. It seemed that our subjects like doing clockwise searches, and they also like the right side of the screen a lot better to start searching.
Right. So this is mean search time. So they're starting top right. So this is our quadrant starting there. And then going top left, bottom right, bottom left. So they seem to be starting always on the top.
And certainly the preference for starting to look at the top of the screen is fairly common. You know, just you know, maybe if, you know, when you're reading a book or something, you tend to go to the top of the page. And
or when you're looking at a computer screen.
Yeah, so that...
You're looking at somebody's eye.
Okay, and so to conclude, we don't really have evidence that cues enhance learning. And there's not much of a difference between how in the testing that cues helped at all. So, and like I said before, it could either be that the color background relationship was overlearned, or that the cues didn't really help. It just made it easier for people to look, but they didn't really learn. And this could be due to small sample size, as Gary mentioned. And do you guys want to add anything to this?
It might also be our instructions, which have maybe a few kinks left in them. It may be that we didn't properly, you know, emphasize the fact that, for instance, we didn't tell them that some items will be queued, and that the queued items will actually always be the target. You can conceive that if we had told them that, then they'd, say, hey, well, I noticed this. It's not some fluke of the experiment or bad programming. It's actually supposed to happen, and therefore I should remember it.
And then to add to that, this also brings up another interesting point in something that could be researched on further. We would also like to know if cues are more active or passive in learning than errors. So do you learn more when you get something wrong, or do you learn more when you're kind of implicitly told where to look? And
well, so yes, as part TA, part participant, I felt like I had to have a slide. So, but anyway, so this is supposed to be a long-term project. So this is just the first of many pilot studies to come, because we don't know how early we should have an onset cue or how much saturation we should have, and these are things we need to work out. And as you saw, we picked textures as best as we could, but until we had tested it, we didn't know that some would be more salient or just more fun to remember. So we need to control for that also. But the long-term goal, and maybe what I'm more interested in, is to, once we've established, hopefully, that, queuing, subtle queuing does impact learning in a positive way, then we can build a computational model of an expert's eye movements in a task, then build a classifier on that to sort of provide cues to a novice learning the same task, and that will hopefully enhance their learning. And the reason we would do a model and not just outright say, or the reason we would have subtle cues and not just outright tell them that, hey, this is important, look at the bottom left, is that conceivably, repeated interruptions would really hurt them. Although that's something also we should test, because it may be that, having an expert looking over your shoulder and providing a big error signal is going to enhance learning more than these subtle cues.
So we could get together with the SIN people on that one.
Yeah. We're hesitant to draw any meaningful conclusions because there's so much variability from subject to subject, and we had 7 good people that really could go either way.
So when you kept Mike in, did your results look more like you wanted them to look?
Yes. So, well, especially when we plotted his response times, per block. So as the experiment went on, we would see, oh wow, he's noticing the cue. That means he's responding faster to cued textures, and then so there's this constant separation, and it was going down, meaning he was learning the task and getting faster in both conditions, but he was consistently faster in the cued, and in a test he was also consistently faster. So certainly awareness of what's going on is crucial to this, and it's not at all clear why we were keeping it a secret from them that the cued
be implicit.
So that's certainly an avenue for future research.
Yeah. All right, we'll take questions. Thank you.
So I'm interested on this bubble screen that you guys, the bubble texture, was it the bubbles or the color that was presented with the bubbles? Because I remember.
No, because the color that was matched with the texture was varied between subjects.
Oh, okay.
So the pairs were always different. Yeah.
Because when I took it, red stood out the most, and I guess that was the texture.
Yeah, so we didn't do this analysis for the target color. It's another thing to look into. When I did it myself, it's true, the red was more salient. We changed the colors in the second round of the experiment. I think you did it in the first experiment. So when we did it the second time, we did match the luminosity of the colors a bit more. So that should have been less of an issue in the second iteration.
I'm curious if you tried to work out whether or not there were eye tracker issues, like on a trial-by-trial basis, if that's possible with the system, or if that's in your, that type of variability is in the data. For example, if on a trial it just lost view of the eyes, is that something you tried to pull out or could pull out?
It's something we could pull out. So for everybody who ran, we have sort of XY coordinates of their eye gaze and timestamps for the entire experiment, so anything we want, we can go backwards. And certainly it's going to be obvious when we look at this file and see that, oh, well, you know, we lost their left eye, we lost their right eye, back and forth, or that it says they're, you know, instantaneously teleporting from one quadrant to the other, you know, back and forth. So,
And so when the eye tracker was having problems, we had a couple of subjects where you had to return to fixation before the next trial would start. Like those trials we were able to get rid of when there was that long delay.
We also basically threw out any data like that was over 3,000 milliseconds. So like if that might have been a problem with the eye tracker if the person was staring at the right target, but it was a problem with it catching the gaze. So we threw out those outliers to try and be more accurate.
But as you saw in that histogram of response times, it's not at all clear whether 3,000 was a good cutoff because there was sort of a long tail, and we don't know whether that's caused due to the eye tracker or due to maybe they're just somehow having a lot of trouble finding the target.
You might have already answered this. The trial would proceed, would you go from one trial to the next after they fixated for a certain period of time on the color? Is that it?
So they didn't have to be fixating on the color. Let's see. If I go here to... Right. So in order to make a response, they had to fixate on the color. And then once they fixated on the color, the distractor colors would go away, and the target color would remain on the screen for 500 milliseconds. When we were testing ourselves on this before, we found that if all of the squares went away as soon as they fixated on the target, it was sort of hard to know what you'd done because your eyes are moving around the screen, and you're saying, well, all right, which one was I fixating on? Which was actually the correct response? Which was actually the target? So this was to help people learn it so that they could say, oh, okay, when I found the target, it was because I found that pink square. Pink square is the target that goes with this texture. So that 500 milliseconds kind of allowed them a little more explicit learning.
So they had to, I get the 500 milliseconds, I get that part.
Sure,
How long did they have to have their eyes on that target before you recognized it as that being that they'd find it?
Not for very long.
50
milliseconds? Okay, yeah. Just for the eye tracker to detect it, yeah.
So could it be that, so people were aware there was some sort of minimum threshold of 50 milliseconds that they had to stare at something in order to select it, right? Because that would have been a question for mine, whether,
yeah.
You see the 3,000 milliseconds going by, it might be people are saying, well, I'm staring, but nothing's happening, so maybe I don't have the right, you know.
I think that would just be a bug in the eye tracker. I mean,
okay.
It should be fast enough that any eye movement that's within the physical eye movement range would be captured.
Yeah, and, you know, we're mostly interested in just what quadrant of the screen they're in. And
right.
Although
right, yeah, so they didn't have to be looking at just the center. There was a broad area capture.
But I'm saying, so if someone's not certain that they say, oh, this is the color, and they do have the right color, but they don't know how long to stare, they might go on to the next one thinking, I haven't got it right yet. I'm just wondering.
A fixation is usually longer than 50 milliseconds. So. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Very rare.
That's cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
So can you go to slide about 18 or so? It's
sure.
The one with the... That one, yeah. So this is strange because this is search times, and it looks like having...
This is just in the test box, the frequency of means...
It looks like fast search. Ones, it hurts you to be queued, to have been queued during the training?
No, actually, sorry. Go ahead. For the fast one, it helps to be queued. So,
but no, I mean, around 500 and below, the queued are the reds, and they're taking longer. Oh, I see. This, okay. Okay, thanks. I was just reading it wrong. Yeah. Okay, that helps a lot. Thanks. Yep.
We need to label these. There is a label. It's very small.
So, I guess, yeah. Okay, so how many test trials were there?
So we did 16 blocks of training and then 4 blocks of test, and each block had 1 trial of each texture. Uh-huh. So 40.
I just wonder if it would be interesting to watch this happen over time. I mean,
yeah.
You said you didn't.
Just the first test block and the second.
Yeah,
test
you
block.
Said your conclusion was you didn't get a result, but you know, if you look at this, you got a result. It's right. This is test times.
Yes.
It's just not enough to be significant, I guess. So it's pretty clear, though, that it's helping.
Sure, yeah. And just like here, this could be significant.
Yeah.
In short order. Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to watch how this occurs over time and intersperse some test blocks in the middle.
And, you know, we had prepared an elaborate sort of rosy interpretation of our not having a difference. So, you know, although, you know, we didn't find technically a big difference, it was at least, you know, they're faster, you know, during training. So conceivably you can fit more training into an hour or, you know, some fixed amount of time. So for a harder task, it might be beneficial to just, try to...
So it's not significant, but there's a 50 millisecond difference in your times there. That's pretty big.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. So when you said that you're uncued, do you mean that when someone sees the target, it just goes to the next screen?
No. Oh,
what do you
no.
mean by uncued?
The queue is the less saturated followed by saturated.
In an uncued trial, you wouldn't have this lighter square. You would just be shown this presentation from the get-go. So I should say this. I should have something that says this is a queued trial. And in an uncued trial, you're just going straight to this 50 milliseconds of light onset doesn't occur.
So during the test trials, you don't have that.
Right.
And so the question is, does having that during training help you learn it better so that you're faster at test?
So learn it better means the relation between the texture and the block?
Right, because there's a one-to-one match of a target color for each texture that you have to learn, which is the same throughout.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
So I'm just curious about this reinforcement of which target was correct and whether or not that plays a role in whether the cue is effective or not, because it seems to me like in the real situation, for example, you might not get immediate feedback on what the correct response is unless you're cued beforehand by this expert letting you know. So did you guys, you said you did some pilot studies without that. Did you notice a difference?
Oh, so when we didn't have the 500 millisecond? Right. So we didn't, That was there in queued and uncued trials and wasn't there before. And you just kind of didn't know what you were doing, because since it's eye movements instead of an explicit response, you weren't explicitly encoding what color it was you'd been looking at.
So this is a little like supervised training.
Yeah, it's a little, yeah, right. So, the cue is definitely more subtle than this. They're really two different mechanisms. And the latter mechanism about target reinforcement you're getting in both trial types.
No, yeah, I understand. But I mean,
right.
In when the reinforcement is gone.
Sure, okay. In that
condition for both cued and uncued.
Yeah.
Maybe the learning can come from the cue itself.
Yeah.
So
right.
That,
so we should try it without that, maybe.
Well, I was just wondering when you did try it without that. Did you notice anything? No.
We didn't look. We didn't analyze data for that. Yeah, that was more anecdotal.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess one last question. When I was in the experiment, I was in the first pass when it was just a timing difference.
Yeah.
And I didn't notice it. Did anybody notice this?
Yeah, I think so.
So it was pretty obvious.
I think
obvious.
Even people who were naive, who were not from our group, right?
Oh, sorry.
You would say that? Go ahead.
Okay, so after the test, I would give a survey, and I did this with almost everybody. I missed maybe two.
Like, what was their favorite color?
No, I asked them, first of all, did they learn anything, just to make sure, and then I asked them to give an example, because there was one subject who didn't learn anything, and he couldn't give me an example. He said, yeah, but then he couldn't give me an example, so we threw out his data. And then I asked them, basically, did they see any subtle changes in the cues, in the colors that they were presented, and all of them said no, except for the subject they didn't learn. But that was because he was having problems with the eye tracker, and it was taking a really long time for things to pop out, and so that's why I think that happened. So most subjects did not see the cue, but it's obvious with the data that the cue helped. It's just not obvious. Well, it's, I guess there's a subtle significance that it might help in learning, but there's not an extreme significance that we want it to see. So, yeah.
All right. We should let you go to lunch. Thanks, everyone.
Okay, thank you.